The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you. Hour three. We're halfway through. We're on the downward slide through the rest of Monday on this first October George show in 2022. There will be others, folks. We will be here every single day except tomorrow. So John Caldera will be filling in for me tomorrow. Got a little bit of a business thing that I need to take care of that will keep me from doing the show, but I'll be with you for the rest of today and then Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Monday. And no matter where I am taken inside the United States, because of 5G technology, I will be with you. It's only those times when I can't that I'll have the wonderful John Caldera from that incredibly successful thing that Independence Institute put on last week. He'll be in tomorrow for me, and then, of course, I'll be back. But here's what we're talking about. There's a hurricane out there that crushed Florida, parts of Florida, and crushed parts of South Carolina, and it's probably still going to cause a whole bunch of rain and weather and stuff on the northeast, but the issue that came up was rebuilding Florida, and it's going to take months, and it's going to take years, and it's going to take lots of federal dollars, and they have a ton of them, folks, because unless you haven't been paying attention to your paycheck low these many years, the federal government takes a lot from us, and then it sends it to do a whole bunch of other things. It also deficit spends so that it can keep our kids and our grandkids really busy as earners to try to pay off the debts for the things that they pay for today. Well, one of those things is the rebuilding of Florida and South Carolina, the areas at least that were devastated by Ian. And you would think that that money will be distributed based on some predetermined model that tries to say, look, whatever percentage of what you lost, we're able to compensate in this way. Or maybe it's based on the benefit to the community or something. I don't know. But the vice president of the United States, her name's Kamala Harris. She's an attorney. She has a different idea. And it's an idea that has yet been unscrutinized because nobody has pushed her yet on what this means. My understanding is from some of our super smart texters is that even the Florida lieutenant governor is like, what did the vice president mean when she talked about distributing federal aid, recovery aid like this?
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities. And do that work.
And by the way, just to answer the last part, we don't want people to be in an equal place. That's socialism talking. And I want the vice president to be asked in a respectful tone, what do you mean we want all people to be at the same place? That's not America. That's some other country that has failed. Right? America is about equality of opportunity, but not that everybody starts off on the same place on the same board, but that you get to go as far as your efforts, your sweat, your God-given talents and skills can get you. That there should be no barrier based on that. Doesn't mean you're going to end up at the same place. Doesn't mean you're going to end up as rich as DJT. And frankly, the guy was born wealthy, right? Same thing with Jared Polis. Born wealthy, came into more wealth. It doesn't mean we end up at the same place as Jared Polis. It means that there are no limits placed on you by the government or the system as to how far your efforts and your skills and everything can take you. That's what it's supposed to mean. But it sounds like what the vice president is saying is it's a quality of outcome. And so I had read this thing in the last hour from George Washington University Online Health, and then I'm going to get to Kim and everybody else on hold, about their definition of equity versus equality. And I'm just going to restate it for you here. And some people, tons of people have been texting. And you can keep doing that. Keep texting us at the 710KNUS app, 710KNUS.com. But give us a call at 303-696-1971. I'll let you know when a line is open. But this says on the GWU online health thing, equality means each individual or group of people is given the same resources or opportunities. Yay, right? Opportunity, great. Equity recognizes that each person has different circumstances and allocates the exact resources and opportunities needed to reach, and here's the socialist term, an equal outcome. No thank you. No thank you. Because in order to create an equal outcome, you must, on purpose, disadvantage some group, probably based on demographics. And then you must deliberately try to advantage some group based on demographics. And so the content of a character thing goes out the window, and this becomes Harrison Bergeron 2.0. We're going to do what we can to bring everybody down and other people up so that we get some sort of weird definition of equity. Kim has been so patient to wait online. Kim, on hold, thank you for calling in. Do you have some thoughts on this equity equality thing?
Man, George, that's why I waited on hold. Oh, I've got so many thoughts. I really look at it as this forced equity is just another way to keep people down and in their place, if you will. Like me, I'm a Black female, and these equity programs don't help me at all.
Why not? I mean, you have been historically disadvantaged, Kim. Wouldn't these systems, if they're put in place, actually try to put you in a better place than contemporaries who haven't suffered that same historic discrimination?
I think absolutely not. It's not everybody's equal. That's just, honestly, I mean, the way that it is, the outcome can't always be equal. That's just the way that it is. In the real world, you know, it's dog eat dog, and we all have on milk bone suits. It's rough out there for everyone. But I feel that these forced equity programs are just the government's way of saying to me, hey, Kim, since you're a Black female, you're always going to be at the very, very bottom. You're never going to make it on your own, no matter how hard you try. So don't try. You just sit back, be below mediocre, and we will take care of you.
I wonder if when you are, whatever employment situation you have, are you confronted with this DEI stuff, this diversity, equity, inclusion stuff? And if so, what do you do in response to it?
So, funny you should ask. Right now, I'm finishing up my bachelor's degree.
Nice.
So I'm an old Black lady in college right now, which is a lot of fun. However,
I think that's fantastic. Did they lessen the number of credits you need to get the bachelor's because you are historically oppressed?
No.
What?
Ashley.
That's not equity.
No. And, oh, guess what else? I'm paying for my tuition on my own.
What?
It's crazy.
Kim,
yeah,
what's wrong with you? The government exists to put you in a better place. Why aren't you letting them do it?
I know, right? I'm trying to buck the system. But before I quit working to finish up my degree, I was the director of human resources for a critical access hospital in Colorado. And at one time, they decided that we were going to start a DE&I program, but I was not to be a part of it.
What? Whoa. You are the D in DE&I. How can you not be part of it?
They didn't. Well, I don't know why they didn't want me as the HR director, considering that's my wheelhouse. But instead, they gave it to a marketing officer who, man, I don't. To a white lady, she was to head up the DE&I happening in the hospital over the human resources director. So that's when I said, yeah, that was one of the times that I realized maybe I'm in the wrong place. And I went back to school. And so now, as in college. Now I'm hit with a barrage of all of this progressive ideology, including DE&I, shoved down my throat, even in my textbooks. So it's everywhere, but it's really interesting that I feel that if people would take the time to talk to those that are, you know, supposedly the least fortunate, like myself,
yeah,
I really feel that they would find the majority of us just want to go out there and just have a chance. Like, I just want to get after it like everybody else. But I don't want handouts for it. Take me at my merit.
It feels like we have bailed on the idea of this, the soft racism of low expectations. And we have decided we're just going to blow way past that. And we're going to get to a place where we just declare you are deserving of this because of some other historical, you know, horrible things that have taken place. And we're going to prop you up into a position that we think represents equality. And Kim, you're doing it wrong because you're not accepting that help. You are rejecting it. You are screwing up the system.
I'm trying to save myself money. I don't want them spending my money trying to make it better for me. I mean, it's fine for me if you just let me get out there and do the work.
Oh, Kim.
Instead of telling me,
telling me
what I need to do.
I love that. So, keep us informed, by the way, when you finally get that degree, would you?
Oh, you're going to hear all about it.
Good.
Of course.
Good. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
And thanks for being such a great listener and a caller, too. Kim's line is open. Grab it up while you can. 303-696-1971. Equity. Is this just the new socialism? Where does it keep showing up for you? Don, you're on 710. What do you think?
Well, it is definitely the new socialism, for sure. It's just a new word. I mean, the left is going to try to keep changing words, changing this, just so that people will fall for it, eat it up, and they get more power and control. And dare I say that I agree with that one caller about the sharing of the crayons and all of that stuff. That is a conditioning of accepting socialism and all that. Now, I'm not against, you know, as a family, sharing that, as long as they can teach them the differences of property rights and all of that stuff. It's as long as that's balanced. There's a equality in that. But like I said, beware when they teach you stuff that, you know, like in the public schools, because the public schools is one of the biggest reasons why we're entering the decline of America, in my honest opinion.
Now, Don, what's your sense of how we're going to fix this? Because, listen, from my standpoint, this equity thing has caught hold, of course, with the mainstream media. Let me go back on something else you said. Your point about the word changing is so spot on, because you can't find anybody that describes themselves as a liberal anymore. Remember that 80s, 90s, early 2000s, liberal was it. But when it got to be so maligned because liberal policies were crushing America and freedom, they shifted to progressive. You know what I mean? Like, you can't hear anyone describe themselves as a liberal anymore. Everybody is
correct.
Progressive. And same thing here. Socialism gets a bad stink to it. And so slowly they're like, well, we got to come up with a different equity. Because it uses terms that nobody can really define. Justice, equity. I mean, it's just incredible.
See, and I mean, you know, and at one time, you know, the word progressive wasn't cool, and then they made it become liberal. That's the funny thing about it, you know, George, because, I mean, they keep changing. They're good at changing the words. They have to change the con. They have to change the scam, as Dinesh D'Souza pointed out in his movie on Hillary and the Democrats. They don't repent of their sins. They just change the con.
I do think that the ideas are the same. They just repackage them, and all that ridiculous college speak, you know, that educational elitist speak where they use terms like manifest. And I mean, I love using that term too, because it sends a message to everyone else in the room that I've been to college, right? Like, manifest,
I mean, the
in their experiences.
Person,
and
the average person is not going to read Darwin's books, but they'll take Darwin from, you know, the spirit of the age, or the zeitgeist of, you know, movies, art, and music. I mean, that's how
here's a quote from this George Washington University. And if people are like, why are you emphasizing that one? It's because it's the one I found and it's where my daughter goes to school. Here's what it says. It's critical to remember that social systems aren't naturally inequitable. They've been intentionally designed to reward specific demographics for so long that the system's outcomes may appear unintentional, but are actually rooted in discriminatory practices and beliefs. Oh my God. They've just thrown America under the bus on this website by saying it was intentionally designed to reward specific demographics. It can't help it. Now it's rooted in discriminatory practices and beliefs. Wow.
This is part of the never-ending revolution that the Marxists advocate. And then to the people that they want to redistribute the wealth to, it's basically that giving that little bit of something, but not enough to make a difference or turn against their the people that are giving them the stuff. They are buying their votes. This has been part of LBJ's scam for years.
I agree with you, Don. The thing is, will you risk being canceled in order to stand up and push back on this abuse of the term equity?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm probably trending towards being canceled anyway, you know, in life. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. And I mean, I'll tell you, there's another thing I need to tell. I mean, I kind of got into it with Randy on social media, and because now he's calling me deluded Don because I do not agree with him, but rather Peter Boyles on the outcome of the election, especially in
I get it. That's the thing you got to take up with Randy, though. That's why he's got
to
show.
I know, but I just want to put – I'm putting it out there,
yeah.
And I'm going to keep putting it out there. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell Stefan. And when I get my new calling card in November, I'm going to tell Peter.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Hey, Don, thanks as always for
getting us
kicked off on this hour for this conversation. As I talked to Billy about this off-air, too, it made me wonder, look, if the natural conclusion of equity isn't, hey, we got to raise the minimum wage for everyone. It's that we have to pay people, not based on their performance, not based on their skill set, not based on the rarity of whatever qualities they bring to the job, but based on their need or their particular background. That's what this equity discussion is. Can you imagine two people employed at a McDonald's? One, some white kid from middle-class America. The other, a member of some, I'm going to use their terminology, some historically disadvantaged demographic. Both doing the same job. Both flipping the burgers, both microwaving the fries or whatever they do to the fries. And yet the white kid, because he hasn't been historically disadvantaged, the white kid gets paid, I don't know what they're doing these days for the McDonald's folks, but let's say it's $15 an hour. But the kid from the disadvantaged, the presumably disadvantaged background, based purely on the color of their skin, maybe even their gender or religion, they're getting paid $17 an hour. Is that fair? That's equity. That's justice. That's bending the tree back to accommodate for its historic. I mean, I'm disgusted by I'm stuck here. I can't. George Washington's going to be a reality for me here for many, many years while I continue to help pay these drastically awful bills. But their description of America as rooted in discriminatory practices and belief that's the source of this system. Isn't that the natural outcome we have to have? Is now we have to have pay based not on what you've done, not on your potential, but on who you are or who your ancestors are? Is that where we're going with this? 303-696-1971 is our number. I want to tell you about Gay Ribble with the Ribble Group, Empower Home team of Keller Williams Realty, DTC. And I do it every day for a very good reason, especially in this real estate market. My goodness, man, every time I open up my news feed, I have another story about something challenging going on with the market, whether it's the increased rates, the decrease in the value of this home in this community and all this other stuff. And yet there's still scarcity in the home buying world. And do people leave this house to jump into that house? You don't have to wonder. You don't have to scroll through 800,000 stories on the real estate market. You just pick up the phone and call Gay Ribble. or her entire team. You call them at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. You called them because they've seen it all and they've done it all. And frankly, despite whatever you perceive to be the volatility of this market, the challenges of this market, what separates Gay Ribble and her team from the rest of the pack is that she will guarantee in writing to sell your home at the timing and at the price that you guys agree upon. Or she'll make it right. She'll pay that difference. Who else does that? They didn't do that before when the market was such a seller's market. They didn't do that. They don't do it now either. As it begins to make that transition from seller potentially to buyer, Gay Ribble has seen it all, been there and done it. And listen, there's always the cherry on top, which is she's a fantastic human being who is invested in adoption, invested in building and strengthening families with her free time. That's her passion, right? It's not just that she's grown up here, started a family and a business here, knows this area like nobody else. She's just a good, solid human being who, oh, by the way, happens to be an expert in real estate. It costs you nothing to call them, 833-301-SOLD. But it could mean everything to you and your family. You can visit them at gayhasthebuyers.com. That's G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. When we come back, Robert, everybody else on hold, I promise we'll get to you. You can give us a call, 303-696-1971. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Little Hotel Colorado right here on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you. You know, you've got me until 10 o'clock, and then Charlie Kirk comes on, followed by Dennis Prager at 11. We got Gorka at 1. And then right here, if you haven't listened to it yet, you got to either do the podcast or just set yourself a little reminder. And I'll do it for you right now. Alexa, set a reminder for 3 o'clock to listen to Deb Flora on 710 KNUS. There, you're welcome. And then at 4 o'clock, Stephen Tubbs. I don't think he's back on the Chargers bandwagon, and that's good because they won and the good guys lost yesterday. Listen, we are talking about this equity versus equality stuff and how it is starting to show up even at the highest levels of government with the Vice President of the United States, who is now suggesting, and I don't know if this is a trial balloon or just, I wish I could tell you it was more deliberate than that. It was that deliberate. But if you've ever listened to the Vice President talk, I don't know that she pre-plans much of what she says. You know that there are pre-planned phrases because those are the ones she repeats 6 to 7 times in every 1 minute speech. But in this one, she throws out the idea that the monies that the federal government are going to use to try to help rebuild Florida ought to be distributed, not based on equality, not based on really even loss, but based on equity. And so I've done some research on equity, and it is more disturbing than I thought it was. It is Harrison Bergeron 2.0. It is the new socialism, this equity, and yet it has found its way, and I'm talking about the military too, this DE&I thing, this diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is a word we really need to take a second look at. It sounds like equality. So if you just listen, you're like, well, who's not for equality? It's not equality. Equality is about opportunity. Equity is about outcome. That's what they say. Should that ever be our goal? Is that the role of government to try to get people in a position where we're all the same in terms of outcome? And what does that even mean? Is it just economic outcome? 303-696-1971, going right back to the phone lines. Robert, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, good morning, George.
Good morning, sir.
Equity is, in my humble estimation, simply the next evolution of affirmative action. And I think it is quite possibly the single most racist policy that could ever be floated. Because essentially what it does is tell people, hey, if you are a member of a group, an ethnic group, a racial group, a gender group, whatever group, that has been, quote unquote, historically oppressed, you're not good enough to make it on your own. You're not smart enough to make it on your own. There is no way that you could achieve success based on your own merit, your own drive, your own innovation, your own work ethic, anything else. The only way that you will ever achieve success is if we, your benevolent government overlords, bestow upon you these gifts of success. I'd be offended, personally.
Well, Kim was. If you listen to Kim's call.
Maybe I'm just too simple a guy.
No, you're not too simple. It's just, and Kim said that. Kim identified as an African-American female. And when I say identified, I don't mean that, like, she could be anything she wanted to be, no matter what the government says. I'm saying that's what she said on the phone. And she was very, very clear. She has no intention of being treated that way by the government because she's going to make it on her own.
And I think that's awesome. I mean, to me, that is the essence of the American dream, is that you are limited only by how hard you're willing to work. What is your desire? What is your drive? What is your motivation? Those are the only things that will limit how far you will go. You know, I came from next to nothing, and I'm a successful small business owner. Why? Because I was willing to work 15 hours a freaking day for 3 years. You know?
I am troubled with the idea, and I wanted to ask your opinion, Robert. Do you think that it should be the role of government? Well, let me just ask it more general than that. What role should the government play in the disparities that exist between people?
I feel the government has a very limited role in that. I do believe in equal opportunity, because I think that if someone is denied opportunity based on anything short of their own decisions and the consequences of those decisions, then that is absolutely and unequivocally wrong. Holding someone back from having the same chance to succeed is not what should happen in our society, or any society for that matter. And so I think that the government should have a limited role in making sure of that, that people do have the equal opportunity and the equal chance. Well,
let me ask you, Robert, what does that mean, equal opportunity? And how does the government ensure that happens?
Hypothetical is the best way that I can explain it. Young black kid, young Latino kid, young white kid. All with the same test scores, all with the same, everything's on par, okay, across the board. They're all applying to the same college. The only one or the only two out of the three that should be accepted are the ones that have the best test scores. And if it comes down to it where it's absolutely even across the board, then it's how do you feel talking to the person? What kind of a sense of the person do you get? Something like that. But somebody who has done, in this hypothetical, somebody who has done better in school and achieved higher test scores and is applying to a college should not be denied in favor of somebody else because of their race. It would be wrong to take a young white man with a 1,200 SAT over a young black man with a 1,500 SAT, period. It'd be absolutely wrong. Why? Because the young black man did better. He worked harder. He achieved more. He earned that spot.
What about this, Robert? I'm going to take up
for no other reason than it's been.
I want to take up the argument of the other side, though, and say that, listen, what about that black American? Someone just texted in and said, I'm not African American, I'm black American, whatever. And I appreciate that distinction. Black American grows up in a disadvantaged environment. A white kid grows up in a middle class, upper middle class environment, a better environment. They don't have the same opportunities at education. One grows up in an area where maybe they're in an underperforming public school. The other one is in a Douglas County school, which kick butt, right? Like I know because I'm there, I'm a consumer. How do you make opportunities equivalent for that?
Well, the opportunity was there.
What was the opportunity? What was the opportunity?
Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson was dirt poor with a mom working two jobs to support two boys, and he had nothing. They were living on shoe leather and grit. And he is now, if not the most preeminent pediatric neurosurgeon in the world, then certainly in the top three. He didn't get there because somebody said, oh, here, poor little Ben, let's help you up. He got there because he said, screw this, I want to be something better. And he worked his butt off to get it. The opportunity is there. What you do with it is your choice. If the school is failing you, then you have options and solutions. Go to your public library. You know, you can do things that are not handed to you. You can achieve things that are not given to you.
Should the government have any role in trying to help out that less advantaged kid growing up? Through no fault of their own, they're in that situation, right? That's probably the product of decisions made by parents, circumstance, whatever it is, right?
Yes, in this sense. They need to make the schooling system better so that those kids truly have the same curriculum and the same learning opportunities from kindergarten on up. I think it's absolutely horrendous that there are so many schools in this country that are failing our children. They are failing to give these kids the education they need to succeed. Now, whether that's because teachers are not doing their jobs or because curriculum sucks or because it's a lower income neighborhood. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of all of these and a thousand other factors that I'm not aware of. We should, as a society, we should be
Robert,
concerned about that.
Let me use a term that's going to trigger you, and that's redistribution. Under what you said, to achieve that, would you be supportive of redistributing tax money from jurisdictions or schools that are doing great to schools that are doing less great, if that would help to offset the disparity there? Because that they don't have the same tax base, I guess, that a wealthy like school district like Douglas County would have. Do you support redistributing those funds?
That's the thing. I don't think that you need to redistribute those funds. I think that the way that funds are spent is more important than how they're where they're spent. The how and the where don't have to necessarily be connected. If you take in the city of New York, man, New York public schools spend about $40,000 a year on per kid on education.
That's
so
a lot.
Why is the public school system in New York so completely and utterly screwed up? It's not where you're spending them, it's how you're spending them. And you can't just throw more money at the problem. This is one of the reasons I've been an advocate over the years of vouchers and school choice. If a particular community, sorry, I'm kind of stumbling over my words here. If a particular community has a bad set of schools and the parents of these schools say, hey, you know what, we're paying taxes and we're sending these kids to school, but these kids are getting a terrible education, let those parents reallocate their own tax dollars to send their kids to a school where they're going to get the education that they need. But that's a whole other discussion there. But keeping people locked in schools that suck,
right,
is not serving anyone well.
Robert, I agree with you there. I do think that we are going to continue to be, and thank you for the call, confronted with the question, though, of how do you define equality of opportunity? Because it's easy for them to use equity on the back end and say equality of outcome. That's actually something you can point to and say, this is what is equality of opportunity? And this equity piece, is government, should government, based on what Vice President Kamala Harris said, should it be in the business of trying to achieve some equality of outcome for the folks in Florida and South Carolina? Yeah. Jim, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Good discussion this morning. This fairness and the money side of everything is interesting, because we are about to enter a period where the government is going to treat the financial industry completely differently than everyone else in America. Let's say speculators versus producers. They are going to bail out the financial industry again to make sure that the 15% taxation people have more help than the 28% taxation people. It's happened over and over again, and for the last 15 years, we've got these zombie companies building and building and building because we don't want to let them fail and have a standard business cycle as we grew up with.
Well, like, give me an example, Jim. What do you mean by that? And how does it feed into this equity discussion?
Well, everything starts with finances, right? Everything starts with money, the magical money that falls out of the sky and ends up somewhere in someone's account.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the accounts are being created in Dogecoin, Bitcoin, all this money that doesn't really exist, that you get to pay taxes on when something doesn't exist. And it keeps people out of the workforce. It keeps people from being productive. It keeps people from knowing how to fend for themselves or build a product to use to defend your own nation in warfare.
Well, okay. So what's the answer?
Well, I think the answer would be a flat tax system.
Oh, I love flat, buddy. I love flat tax.
And let...
Go ahead.
And let actual markets that we're talking about, free markets, actually back into our nation. Free markets have been bred out of this nation with speculation, with all the financial changes, the Plaza Accord in 1985, and all the dollar taking over the world. We deficit spend in this nation, not for ourselves, because the money does not circulate here. We deficit spend for the rest of the world, and That has caused some real negative issues in our population.
You know that this is going to come out of deficit spending as well, but what should be done based on what Vice President Kamala Harris said, and I presume you heard the quote, what should be done with those funds to help rebuild? First off, should there be funds used by the federal government to help rebuild Florida and South Carolina, or should we say, hey, this is a market-driven thing, too bad, so sad, you're on your own?
Well, you know, the funny thing is some of the representatives from Florida have said no to funding, while other people in Florida are saying, yeah, give me all the money I can get. We need help, America. So there's some definite tension within Republican non-conservative party as it stands.
Well, where does Jim come down on this? What does Jim think?
Well, I think a little bit of free markets in this nation would do us well.
But how does it factor into this equitable distribution of federal recovery funds? Are you of a mind that you would agree with whoever you described as the representative saying, nope, no federal buck should come in here, we'll take care of it ourselves? Or do you do something different?
Well, you have to do something different. They can't take care of it themselves. The cost is too great. However, maybe we shouldn't be building and rebuilding cities and structures inside of obvious flood and hurricane zones. Maybe that would make some sense. And if the government wasn't there to bail out people in that peninsula, then who would really build down there?
Yeah, I don't know if I can take that position. I feel that way to some extent when we talk about the fires here in Colorado, because we've done such a poor job with managing our forests. But listen, this is a 500-year, I don't know how they know this, by the way, but this is a 500-year hurricane. I don't know where you can build in America where you can protect yourself from anything that could go wrong with nature, especially on the coasts, right? I mean, how could we have anybody? How? Tell me.
How you let an actual market work, okay? Right now, we've got a governor in Florida that might make a wonderful president, but he just took a bunch of foreigners, immigrants, sent them up to wherever, Boston, and now they're looking to get immigrants into Florida to do the work, to do the cheap work, because Americans won't work any longer because it is more profitable to speculate in a financial market where money really doesn't exist, but you can get rich off of it.
Yeah, that could be it, Jim. And I can hear the libertarian in you screaming at some of these things. I don't know if the financial market discussion lends itself naturally. And forgive me, I got to go to a break. I don't know if it lends itself to a discussion of this comment by Kamala Harris. I am more intrigued by what you said about representatives down there, and I didn't know this, saying, hey, no, we don't want the federal government to play here, because as you pointed out, the cost to rebuild is incredible, and there's one pot of money to go to, and maybe that's the bigger issue. Federal government has grown so big, so quickly, and has so much of our money that they're the only place we can go to get fixed when things go wrong. I don't think you can just turn it over to the market. I don't know what you say to all these families who are devastated, like, too bad, sucker, shouldn't have lived there. I mean, I realize we can't just put them right back into the place that they were, but whatever we're going to do cannot be based on some sort of notions of historical discrimination or equity or whatever this is. This feels to me like a quick rebranding of socialism. And maybe what we ought to do is have a conversation about equity and then banishing this term as it's being used right now. Because there's a legitimate use of equity. This does not seem to be it. 303-696-1971. Jason, everyone else on hold, getting a ton of texts in here. I'll try to read those during the break as well. But I cannot go any longer with this segment until we cut away and do the things that we need to do. And one of the things I need to do is to tell you about my dentist at Twin Aspen Dental. Twin Aspen Dental. I was there a week ago today for them to look under the hood and do the things that they did. I had a very nice, I don't know what they call them. Is it dental hygienist, dentist assistant? I don't know what they call it. But it was Shiloh. Super nice lady, very engaging, very gregarious. And even she did such a nice job, folks. I nodded off in the middle of it. And she was so sweet. She didn't wake me up. Like, she didn't, like, shake my head or stick something on my tongue or something. She just gently kind of nudge me while the saliva built up and they put that sucking straw in your mouth and you wrap your lips around it. You know what I'm talking about? Which, by the way, took a little bit of practice for me. I wasn't good at it. It wasn't natural. Nonetheless, Shiloh did a great job. I had Dr. Richter come in. He did his voodoo. Great guy to talk with. Just these guys will take care of all of your dental care needs. I mean, they can do the bridges and the crowns and all that stuff. That's true. That's the big heavy lifting stuff. They're good at that. Mercifully, right now, I don't need that. The things that I need are the preventative care that you need to, and that is twice a year. That's the standard. You're brushing your teeth at least twice a day. For me, it's at least twice a week. I've drawn that line in the sand with my mouth. I'm going to do it. If you keep your mouth healthy, the chances of the rest of you being healthy increase exponentially. These are the folks to help you to do it. You can go visit them at twinaspendental.com. But really what I recommend doing is picking up the phone and calling them. You can also go out to their easy-to-find office. I found it easily, right off of Stroh Road and Parker, right by Lehman Academy. It's an awesome experience, and I think you ought to do it too. Nobody's super excited to go to the dentist, but I got to be honest, it's great. I've already booked my next appointment. I plan on being there again in about 6 months and hopefully no sooner, and we'll get a chance to keep this going. I recommend you join their ranks as well. You call them at 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466, or visit them at TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. George Brockler, I'll be back with you, Jason, everybody else on hold, 303-696-1971. It's The George Show, 710 KNUS. Classic Van Halen, I believe, from what will be known as Van Halen 1, 1978 Smash, I think it's 78, Smash intro album to David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen and the boys, right here on 710 KNUS. That is Eddie V right there, rocking it, becoming the best guitarist, perhaps of his age. Going right back to the phone lines before we wrap up this hour. Jason, you're on 710. What do you think, sir?
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
Love
for calling.
Your show, man.
Thank you.
One of my favorite things about you, you call both sides out to task to explain their positions. One of the callers earlier mentioned Ben Carson and his, you know, where he came from and how he was able to succeed.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one of the biggest problems is people today are expecting the government to raise their children, not the families. And again, Carson is a perfect example. His mom worked, pushed him to get, you know, further education, and look what happened. And with this, honestly, in my opinion, this falls right in with Marxist tradition. You get the kids to become, I'll say, wards of the state. You can manipulate the kids to support the state. And I think this is the direction that it's gone. And nobody spends more time and has a bigger influence. Well, should spend more time and have a bigger influence than parents and the family. But we're not doing that anymore. And the government is raising the kids anymore, not the parents.
Is there, and Jason, I don't have a ton of time. I got about 45 seconds, but if you just throw
sure.
out your answers, what role, if anything, should the government be playing in this equality of opportunity business?
Minimalist. It should be a minimal because, again, I'm a capitalist. I'm a conservative. But the government is just to make sure that the playing field is fair to start the game. But because one person can run faster than the other doesn't mean, oh, the other person gets to make the person two gets to make the touchdown also. No, it doesn't work that way. How you go about it, like everybody says, we know the answer. Let the market system dictate how the game is played. But because the kids, listening to your daughter last week, who is a very well-spoken young lady, you know, in her 20s, but listening to her talk about what her peers
Jason,
think.
Would you forgive me, buddy? If you want to hang on, I'll grab you up, but I got to cut you loose here for a second because I have got to get out of this segment. If you hang on, I promise I'll bring you back, my friend. Hey, listen, just a few seconds to tell you. We'll come back. We'll keep talking equity. I've got another clip, though, I want to run by you. Is Ron DeSantis racist for what he said about looters? George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.